Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to see everyone here. So today, you get to see a little bit of my artistic ability. I colored this morning. Since I'm left-handed, I'll use the left-handed water on the left-handed side here. We'll leave that there. And you think, I know what a rainbow stands for. Well, of course you do. We've taught it for years and years. It's in Scripture. And we know that the rainbow stands for a promise. That God said, I will not flood the earth again. Unfortunately, now it stands for something else in today's society. It's something that stands, that contradicts God's law and how we are to live. It represents gay pride. Gay pride. So today, I'm going to discuss this topic. And I've got a layout of how I'm going to handle this. Is we're going to talk about our current situation in today in the United States of what the law is, the church's ruling of what Home Office said. We're going to dig into Scripture, some scriptures about the topic. We're going to ask the reason why, and then we're going to look at the results. So first of all, let's look at the current ruling. So June the 26th of this year, same-sex marriage supporters rejoiced outside of the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. on Friday, that Friday, after the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a ruling regarding same-sex marriage is legal, according to the federal government. The High Court ruled that same-sex couples have the right to marry in all 50 states. The federal ruling stated that the states cannot keep the same-sex couples from marrying and must recognize their unions. The decision was 5-4. And as a side note, before this ruling, gay marriage had already been legal in 37 of the states. So this has been going on for quite some time. Local and the local states. After the federal law passed, a few states have passed laws that said that a person with their religious beliefs does not have to support this and hand out marriage certificates, because there were some cases where people were getting fired, and still in some states people are getting fired because of it goes against their religious beliefs. So that will be an ongoing situation from state to state to see how they handle it. They ask for equality, equal dignity in the eyes of the law, Kennedy wrote, of same-sex couples in the case. The Constitution grants them that right, according to the White House. Speaking at the White House, President Obama praised the Supreme Court's ruling, saying it arrived like a thunderbolt after a series of back-and-forth battles over same-sex marriage. He's been in office for 7 years, and he's been working on this constantly to get through. So I don't think it was quite a thunderbolt. Obama says that the ruling will strengthen our communities by offering dignity and equal status to the same-sex couples and their families. The president calls this ruling a victory for America. Welcoming the news on Twitter, yes, our President Obama twitters, he wrote, "Today is a big step in our march toward equality. Gay and lesbian couples now have the right to marry, just like everyone else. Hashtag love wins." And you can read that at npr.org. So my second point is we've always been told to always be ready to give an answer. And the president of our church was ready to give an answer. Mr. Victor Kubik, on I believe July the 1st, he read a statement from the church. He said, marriage is a union between a man and a woman, exclusive of all others. Marriage is a divine institution and a natural union. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, Matthew 19:6. Any other teaching or practice is in direct conflict with the Holy Scripture. God's definition of marriage also reflects the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church, Romans 13:1. Christians are to comply with the laws of man unless it conflicts with the Supreme Court of heaven. Jesus Christ said that we are to be an example to the world. Part of that example is us, marrying male and female. So now we're at the point where we need to dive into Scripture. What does the Scripture say about the GLBT? So let's look at the very beginning, Adam and Eve. Let's turn to Genesis 2, verse 21. Genesis 2, we'll start at the very beginning. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So what's interesting here is that just as soon as Eve was created, the very next scripture is concerning man leaving his family and joining a woman in marriage, being unified. So I had never really thought about that scripture being exactly after Eve was created. So verse 28, must not be verse 28 because there's only 25 verses. But one of the verses talk about being fruitful and multiply. Chapter 1, there we go, chapter 1, 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So it does take a male and a female to be fruitful and multiply. Christ also speaks about marriage in the New Testament. Let's turn to it. For those that like to read the New Testament, let's turn to Matthew 19, verse 4. And we'll get a little bit from the old and new. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they no longer but one, but two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. Let no man separate. Christ, again, in the New Testament, mentioned man and woman in marriage. And you can jot this down as a note also in Mark 10:6, is another chapter. So the GLBT, which some people say, what is GLBT? Well, that's acronym for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transvestite. And the GLBT may say that the scriptures use the word unnatural in Genesis as same thing as glasses, as a wheelchair. They ask what is unnatural, and that Eve was defined as a suitable helper, which could be a person of the same sex. So these are some of the things that they combat scripture with that you have to think about when you're asked questions. So the GLBT society also says that Ruth and Naomi were gay. David and Jonathan were gay. So these are, you know, scriptures that we brethren have to know our scripture and be ready to give an answer. And as Mr. Kubik gave an answer, we also ought to be strong in our scripture and able to give those answers as well. So let's go back to the basics. What is sin? Since we're talking about gay marriage, we have to bring up what is sin. So let's turn to 1 John 3:4. And I think you know where I'm going with this. Is gay marriage a sin? Is part of the GLBT a sin? So let's turn to 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So I have a couple translations here for you. The New American Standard Bible: everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The New Living Translation: everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says that everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is breaking the law. And I enjoy this one. It's the International Standard Version. Everyone who keeps living in sin also practices disobedience. In fact, sin is disobedience. So now at this time, we'll look at a commentary for this. So whoever committeth sin, that is, as the apostle here means, knows known sin. So what is a known sin? Whether by doing actions which God has forbidden, or by omitting duties which he had enjoined, or by uttering words which are false. So we're lying, we're profaning, slander, something that's malicious, foolish. By doing things that are contrary to those of Christ. Transgressions. Things against the law. Against God's law. These are the sins that the scripture is talking about. That no one should think lightly of these sins. Because every sin, even the least of the sin, is a violation of the law of God, if not repented of and pardoned through faith in Christ, will most certainly be punished. So we are all held accountable for our sin. Scripture also tells us to seek a husband or wife of the same faith. In the Old Testament, the tribes married pagan wives. So in Ezra 10, we won't turn to it, but you can look it up in Ezra 10, 18 to 44. Knowing their sin of marrying the pagan wives, they had to cast them out, and then they presented a ram to God for the trespass offering. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. So 2 Corinthians 6, 14. The title is Be Holy. And the scripture reads, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with dark?" So we are told to not fellowship with the unrighteous, the lawlessness. Paul tells the church members to separate themselves from those that are ungodly, the unclean. We are to be different, brethren. We are to be noticeably different. And since we're on this topic of fellowshipping, let's also turn to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep my company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourself the evil person." So how do you interpret these passages? I think it's pretty plain. We are told not to fellowship with those that are sexually immoral among those that have the other ungodly traits that's mentioned in verse 10 and 11. Concerning the scriptures that we've read, I think it's safe to say, brethren, that homosexuality is a sin. It is a transgression of God's law. Bottom line is that no matter what the sin is, whether it's fornication, drunkenness, homosexuality, humankind can reason and justify their actions that are just and honorable, saying that they still follow God's word. We are told not to add to or take away from Scripture. Scripture says that these things are sinful, and we all are to repent, whatever our sin is. Penalties for breaking the law in Leviticus 20:23, it says, "And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you. For they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them." And in verse 13 of chapter 20, it says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them." So, brethren, we all are accountable for our own actions. When we sin, we have to stop, we have to repent, and be forgiven from God the Father. So, are you prepared for even greater influences on TV programs, in songs that we listen to on the radio, movies based upon homosexual couples, commercials, more advertising? As more and more issues are discussed, people grow accustomed to what soon becomes the norm. Topics such as sexual immorality are no longer treated as sin, but it's accepted in society. The bar of moral humanity lowers at every sin that is accepted by our society. There's another acronym. It's SSA. Does anyone know what that stands for? SSA? stands for same-sex attraction. Same-sex attraction. There's a group of people who struggle with SSA, but they've never engaged in homosexual activities. SSA, it says, is not primarily a sex problem, but it's a love problem. For example, many of the men with SSA were not loved sufficiently by their fathers, and many of the women were not loved sufficiently by their mothers. So they have an emotional need that they're trying to fulfill. These are people who have an underlying hunger is to experience real love, usually because they've missed out on it when they were a child. Concerning TV stars, how many people know Jim Parsons? All right. Well, let me rephrase that. His TV name is Sheldon Cooper. So Sheldon Cooper is in The Big Bang Theory, and he's a scientist on this show with other scientists, and it's a comedy sitcom. But Sheldon has this weird relationship with this other scientist, Amy. Outside of the TV show, he is in an openly gay relationship with his partner, his art director, Todd Spenwick, for the past 11 years. More visibly today, we have a talk show host, Ellen DeGeneres. She's a lesbian that has a variety show, talk show. She also has her own clothing called New Lifestyle Brand and Accessories. 2015, she's already made $75 million. $75 million. And now she's branching out into producing 5 TV shows, one of which is based on Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. So I'm sure her dollars are funding towards the GLBT cause. So the next question is why? Why are people gay? Why are people lesbian? Why are they bisexual, transgender? I'm sure you've thought about this. And there's been a lot of arguments concerning this. Some say it's because he or she was born that way. Some say it's a choice that they make in life. Some say it's a chemical imbalance. Some say it's due to being sexually abused as a child, or maybe mentally or physically abused. Throughout my work career, I have spoken to 2 guys that I have worked with that were gay, and I asked them the question, so why are you gay? And in these 2 cases, both men were abused as young boys by men, unfortunately. So there's a lot of physical abuse that goes on throughout the years. I also know a man that, as a child, he was abused by his older female babysitter. So he constantly thinks about sex. It's 24/7. Everything he relates to sex. One therapist said that I have done a lot of counseling with men who struggle with same-sex attraction. Some have been in the lifestyle. Others have battled with lust and pornography. I would estimate in 3/4 of the cases, there was some sort of sexual abuse or misconduct that formed a powerful memory which contributed to the struggle. Back in December 2012 on USNews.com, there was an article written by some scientists that says, scientists may have finally unlocked the puzzle of why people are gay. So their theory and their studies suggested that homosexuals get the trait from their opposite sex parents. A lesbian will almost always get their trait from her father, while a gay man will get his trait from his mother. Long thought to have some sort of hereditary link A group of scientists suggested Tuesday that homosexuality is linked to epimarks, extra layers of information that control how certain genes are expressed. So I looked up epimarks, which correlates to epigenetics, how gene expression is regulated by temporary switches. These epimarks are usually, but not always, erased between generations. In homosexuals, these epimarks aren't erased. They're passed from father to daughter or mother to son, explains William Rice. So that's the scientific side of it. My wife was telling me there's another study out there, more recent, that says when the sex organs are being developed in the womb, that the brain is not on the same path as the sex organs, so the brain doesn't receive the information whether he or she is a male or female. So that's another study. So the question is why? Maybe it's different for different people. Maybe it's genetics for some. Maybe it's abuse by others. One thing we can do is when Christ returns, we can walk with Christ and we can ask Christ and get the right answer. That's for sure. But I do know we have a lot of abuse in our society, and we have historically throughout the time of all the way back to Adam and Eve. So what is the benefit of GLBT? Well, now with the new laws, one can receive federal finances such as Social Security, veterans benefits, health insurance, retirement savings. It clears up the issue of property rights when their gay partner passes away. In some cases, it's a matter of wanting acknowledgement as a civil union, equal with the God-ordained marriage of man and wife. We know that from the very beginning of God's church, that God has been calling people out of every kind of immoral lifestyle, both heterosexual and homosexual. So let's turn at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. It says, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul went on to say, "And some of you were washed and then sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." So what are the results of our sins? What are the results of homosexuality in the United States, of passing this gay marriage law, of accepting unrighteous acts of a society that accepts and promotes immoral lifestyles such as homosexuals? What do you think is in store for the United States? What is our future? A rise and fall of a nation now averages around 150 to 200 years. I want you to think about the history of the United States and visualize where we are in this cycle. So we've got different stages. I believe I have 9-10 stages of a cycle of a nation. The first stage moves from bondage to spiritual faith. Remember the very beginning of this nation. Moves from bondage to spiritual faith. The second, from spiritual faith to great courage. The third, moves from great courage to liberty. The fourth stage moves from liberty to abundance. The fifth stage moves from abundance to selfishness. The sixth stage moves from selfishness to complacency. Complacency is a feeling of smug or critical, uncritical satisfaction of one's and others' achievements. The seventh stage moves from complacency to apathy, a lack of interest or concern. The eighth stage moves from apathy to moral decay. Moves from apathy to moral decay. The ninth stage moves from moral decay to dependence. And the tenth stage, the last stage, moves from dependence to bondage. So in our cycle, where do you think we are in the United States? I have to think we're in probably the eighth or ninth stage, from apathy to moral decay, or possibly from moral decay to dependence, as the United States loses its wealth. CNSnews.com has an article. It says, one of the greatest threats to America is the progressives, a new name for liberals, led by President Obama and his Attorney General Eric Holder, who are trying to impose a new morality, which is no morality at all, jamming it down the throats of the American people. America has been blessed by God more than any other nation on the face of the earth, he said. When our country was birthed, its foundations and laws were based on biblical laws and principles. He continued, we used to be one nation under God. Now we're one nation that has turned its back on God. History shows that when nations do this, their end is near, says Reverend Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. So we do know that history does have a way of repeating itself. We don't want to forget the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the neighboring towns, filled with sexual immorality and every kind of perversion. The GLBT community looks at this section of Scripture as God being against the raping that was going on during the time. Not that men wanted to have sex with other men, but that God despised the greed and wickedness towards the outsiders. It's another way of justification of sin. 2 Peter 2:7 says, righteous Lot was delivered from the city, oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who puts darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In 2013, the Washington Post performed a study of adults 18 and older, around 35,000 people. Said at the time, 96.6% were straight, 3.4% were gay, lesbian, or bisexual. So it's relatively a small percentage, 3.4. There are multiple groups who financially support the GLBT, and they promote and help grow the organization. They help the people however it's needed. Now companies are getting on board as well. We have boards within large companies to support this organization. They've got their own company organizations. They promote within job roles, just like such as a minority group. It's representing diversity in the workforce. And there was a group called the NOS Junior Foundation, started back in 1953. They've been a big promoter of the GLBT and trying to advance them in society and roles within the workforce. So people who identify as transgender or transsexual are usually people who are born with typically male or female anatomies, but feels though he or she has been born into the wrong body. Born into the wrong body. For example, a person who identifies himself as a transgender or transsexual may have typical female anatomy, but feels like a male and seeks to become a male by taking hormones or electing to have a sex reassignment surgery called SRS. So that's the official age for starting the hormones is around 16, but recommends to wait for the SRS, the surgeries, at 18. Unfortunately, through the research and online, I have seen a few articles where doctors have performed this surgery as early as 4 years old. And there's cases of a five-year-old, an eight-year-old. And it's a sad situation when they have sex changes at that age. There's another organization. It's called WPATH.org. It stands for World Professional Association for Transgender Health. So basically they allow the children and they have counselors that help the children, and they start changing their grooming at age five on how they dress, and they choose a new name of the sex that they think they are. And then later around 11 or 12 that they may start on puberty blocking inhibitors and to buy more time before they start the hormones. So the blockers prevent the unwanted wrong direction puberty that may cause the child to become suicidal. Born in New York, 1949, Bruce Jenner had dyslexia and struggled in school at a young age. Do you know he failed second grade? Had to retake second grade. But Bruce Jenner excelled in sports. He was injured in college football, so he focused on track and field. His coach saw his potential, and he said, "Bruce, why don't you train for Olympics?" 1972. He placed 10th that year in Munich. 1976 at the Summer Olympics in Montreal, Jenner won a gold medal and broke a world record in the decathlon. He was one of seven spokesmen for Wheaties and was on the cereal box for us kids as an American hero. 1976, I was 6 years old, and it was a big thing to see Bruce Jenner on that Wheaties box. He was an American hero. He also, when he won that race in 76, a bystander handed him the flag, and he did his lap, the winner's lap afterwards. And that since then, that started all the other United States people to run that winner's lap. 2012, he was having marriage issues with Chris Kardashian. They split and divorced. Why were they having marriage issues? Bruce is now called Caitlin. And he's rumored to have a sex change from a male to a female. It's tough to see as one of your great athletes in the United States has or is going to have a sex change. Let's turn to Romans 1, verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18, we'll read down through verse 32, the rest of the chapter. The title is God's Wrath on Unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are all without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And we think back on even the Israelites when they were in captivity for years. You can think back on different nations. When you forget God, man thinks he becomes wise, and he is foolish because he doesn't keep God's laws, and it becomes a very unrighteous nation. Verse 23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So they created their own false gods, false religions and worship. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. So we're talking about prostituting, physical abuse. Verse 27, likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So we are talking about homosexuality, sodomy, which was also during this time frame practiced by the heathens in false worship. Verse 28, and even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We read that the spiritual wickedness, the false worship, false gods, denying God's existence, we read of a great moral decline. Sexual promiscuity, homosexuality, such as the days in Sodom and Gomorrah, the unrighteous and ungodly men. All will be judged by God. 2 verse 6, it says, who will render to each one according to his deeds. All, unless they repent, will be rendered according to his deeds. The good news is there is hope, Christian hope, and help for homosexuals. There's Christian hope and help for all of us. Everyone that sins, there is hope and help. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We will all have to die the first death due to the sin of humanity. Since Adam and Eve, the creation of mankind, all but Christ, have sinned. Our objective, no matter what the sin is, the sin that we have, we are to repent, we are to change our lives, and we are to prepare ourselves for the return of Christ. Sin is a choice. Sin is a choice. Sin enters our mind at first, and then we can cast that thought out, or we can go over it in our minds until we act upon it. So sin is a choice, brethren. We can choose to live in sin, or we can choose to repent and grow spiritually. God gave us this ability to choose. Often people have been raised in a dysfunctional home environment that they could not control as children, which left them susceptible to sexual sins. In light of this, God's ministers are compassionately help Christians who wish to conquer wrong sexual inclinations of whatever nature. Whatever it is, we have a ministry in the church that can help. The United Church of God provides a compassionate ministry to help educate, to comfort, to assist Christian men and women and surmounting this challenge, a personal issue. If you need help with your sin, please go to the ministry. Seek help. And the scripture says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.